Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Talos Takes. Today, we are going to be talking about the 8Base threat actor and Phobos ransomware, DMA from Talos Outreach. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me again, John. Glad to be here.
So when this podcast goes up, there'll be two blogs on the Talos blog, which I'll be linking to in the show notes, that you worked on regarding the 8Base threat actor and its use of the Phobos ransomware. So for starters, can you kind of just give me a quick breakdown of what we're talking about here exactly? Like, help me differentiate between 8Base, which is the group distributing this ransomware variant, and Phobos, which is the ransomware itself.
Of course, John. 8Base is probably a group of individuals who started running ransomware attacks against a variety of targets beginning around end of last year and beginning of this year. They were first observed using this name around this time, but we don't believe that they are a new threat actor. They're just a rename of some other group that was acting before. Their main targets, they don't have a specific target industry or region. They attack everyone that they can. But their main targets, since are their victims, are ESXi servers. So they target the VMware hosts that are hosting many machines inside their targets. And they do that because they want to increase the chance of causing damage and forcing the victim to pay. And Phobos is the actual tool that they use to implement the ransomware part of their attack. Phobos is a family of ransomware that performs the encryption of files, and it's very fast in performing this encryption. So they use this tool as part of their attack arsenal.
So is there anything particularly, like, you know, when we talk about ransomware, I think most people who are listening by now generally get the gist of how these attacks are going to go down. Is there anything particularly unique about Phobos and the way that 8Base is using it, or just anything else in general that kind of stuck out to you during your research?
Yeah, one of the findings in my research was that there is nothing specifically unique about the ransomware part of the attack. Phobos itself is a tool that was initially developed in 2019, around 2019, based on another family called Dharma or Crisis. And there was no improvement or new development since that time that it was initially developed. So the tool itself is simple and not changed. The difference that we found is that 8Base uses a method for delivering this ransomware. It uses a packer, a file obfuscator, if you understand. This file obfuscator is called Smoke Loader, and it protects the actual binary by changing the code and the file content to make it more difficult to detect. So that's one of the changes. Smoke Loader also have a series of features that improve the chance of delivering this tool and executing this tool on a machine, even if there are security products there. 8Base leverage this tool to improve the efficiency of the delivery, the ransomware binary in the end. And the other thing that we found is that even though 8Base use Phobos, which is a very common family, Phobos binary itself has an embedded configuration, which is the main topic on the first blog that we published, which contain a lot of options to fine-tune the malware to the attacker necessities. So 8Base has this configuration, which is different from other variants that we have seen in.
So this kind of second part of your research and why we broke this up into two different posts is that you kind of pulled on the strings of the various Phobos affiliates and the various actors who are using Phobos. So can you kind of give me a high-level overview of what you found out about this ransomware and what the different variants are that are out there that, you know, especially folks who are used to reading the blog and cybersecurity publications that they might have heard of before?
When I analyzed the malware itself, the code of the malware, started to notice that the 8Base variant was very similar to other variants of Phobos that I found in public sources like VT or AbuseCH. When I started looking deeper at the code, I noticed that all the samples that I could find since 2019 were exactly the same. The code was exactly 100% match. If you use tools like BinDiff, you could see the exact same code in all the samples from 2019 until today for any affiliate using Phobos. The only difference was this configuration data that I mentioned before. We were able to decrypt this configuration and extract this information. Inside this configuration, there were several settings that allow us to keep track of what campaign and what actor was behind each sample. So there were configurations, for example, for the file extension that is used during the encryption process, extensions or files that should be avoided during the encryption gave us information about previous Phobos campaigns, because the malware avoids encrypting files that were already encrypted by another variant. So this gave us a history of families or variants that were in use before with that Phobos binary. And another interesting point that we found in the configuration was for all the samples that we analyzed, around 1,000 samples from public sources, every single one of them had the same public key used to protect the encryption key used on the encryption process. So Phobos create a unique encryption key for each file, and this key is saved to the end of the file after encryption. But this data is protected with a RSA public key. This public key is the same one in every single sample that I analyzed during this research. That means that there is a private key associated with this public key that is able to decrypt all of the samples. Independent of the family, there is an RSA key that is possible to decrypt all of the samples. And that points higher authority in the Phobos ecosystem that owns this private key, that owns the decryption key for all the Phobos samples. So this was an interesting finding too about the families. Based on the other settings that we found in the configuration, we were able to devise around 110 different variants of Phobos in use, and more than, 900 different emails used as contact points for decryption. So when the victim is infected and the files are encrypted, they are shown an email to contact in order to request decryption. We found around 800 or 900 of these emails, which points to as many as 800 or 900 affiliates or out actors behind these Phobos campaigns.
Yeah, and speaking of like all that splintering and how many, different threads there are to pull on here, I'm wondering why Phobos specifically ended up becoming this ransomware that was kind of rife for the situation. Like I've talked to in other episodes about how sometimes ransomware source code will get leaked. Maybe somebody just makes it open source just because. Like, what are kind of the origins of Phobos here that made it rife for this type of splintering?
Yeah, like I mentioned, Phobos was already created based on another ransomware called Dharma or Crisis, depending on which company calls it. But the changes that we observed in Phobos code only happened around this time in 2019, beginning of 2020. After this period, every single sample is exactly the same. So there was no new code changes in Phobos after the initial development period. That means that there is a big probability that the source code for this variant of Phobos never leaked. Because if they had leaked the source code, more people would be developing variants, making changes to the code, improving a few parts that are not working as expected, or adding new features. But we didn't observe any of that. There is no new variant of Phobos since 2019. So we don't believe that there is code leak. What we do seem to figure out in our research, or what we do understand from our research, is that there might be different builders for Phobos. The builder is the tool that take common binary, change the settings in the binary, and generate the executable file that is going to be used by the attacker victim environment. So the builder is the tool that changes the different settings in the Phobos configuration. And we observe that there are variants of Phobos with more or less configuration settings, which points to different builders being used by the attackers. There might be different builders that use a common binary code template, but there is no source code for this binary code that was leaked. So that's an interesting point too, and also implies that there are many affiliates that are using these builders to create their own variants of Phobos.
So I know from working with you on these posts and this project in general, this has been like literally months of work that you've been putting into this. So at the end of it, what are some of your high-level takeaways about this threat actor and this particular ransomware that you're gonna, you know, that you're kind of taking away from all of this? Any major trends, or, you know, where do you see this actor going from here at this point? Do you picture them changing any of their TTPs or anything like that?
Yeah, this blog was supposed to be only about 8 bays in the beginning. And when we started looking at code itself, we noticed that it was much bigger and involved many more affiliates and groups behind it. One thing that we notice on this research is that there are no new developments in Phobos. It's a tool that is about 5 years old now, and it has the same components, same features as the initial version that was developed back in 2019. So the fact that this is still being used by a player like 8Base, which has been very successful in compromising victims, even today they are still very successful in compromising victims, means that they don't need to improve their tools if the tools is still working. So if we analyze and we understand these tools, how they work, and what are the telltales that something bad is happening, we could improve our detection and we could improve our security products to prevent these tools from working. So understanding, for example, that an attacker using Phobos will need specific access to run the binary, or that they will use a specific user access control bypass methods is important, because you can protect against this preventively, right? My feeling is that once the detection for Phobos improve and this tool stops being as effective as it is today, there will be no new development for Phobos. Unless actors behind the source code intentionally leak it to give to the community, or something happens and the code leak, there will be no new developments. They will just move to something new and more effective, which is usually how these groups act. If something is not working, they just drop it and move to something that is working.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time talking to me about this, Guilherme. And like I said, I'll be linking to your research in the show notes so people can read more there if they want to. Thanks as always for your time.
Thank you, John, again. And thank you, everybody, for listening.